Zelda.
Puzzle.
Puzzle.
PodQuest.
There we go. A+.
Well
A+.
Done.
Next time will be perfect.
We're practicing. We're practicing. Yeah. There's so many pendants to collect. It's fine.
Yeah.
We're back.
And this time around, yeah, we're back. But now instead of me doing the boss, me being in charge, we're going to have Zach.
That's me.
You designed a dungeon.
I designed a dungeon.
Woo.
I hope it's fun. I should.
Well, let's get right into
right it. Right into it. All right. I have here, Link is on an adventure. He has a sword, shield, and the Lantern of Truth. Having obtained the Shadow Pendant, Link set off through the overworld in search of his next goal. One night in a disreputable milk bar, he hears the story of the dread pirate Demadian. This scourge of the seas spent years upon years robbing and plundering, until finally meeting her end at the hand of her longtime rival, Commodore Lauterbur. But Demadian got in one final trick on her adversary. Before her demise, she had hidden away her entire pirate hoard in an impregnable vault somewhere in the vast Gerudo Desert. It is said that among that treasure is the Lightning Pendant. Link has journeyed far and wide, and at long last ascends beneath the dunes into the Lightning Temple.
Cool.
So, you descend the dunes to the Lightning Temple. You find yourself in a room. This somewhat narrow room seems like it was carved out of one large piece of sandstone. A massive round piece of metal is embedded in the north wall. Facing it from the center of the room, so in the center of the room, is some kind of cylinder thing. You're not exactly sure at first glance what it is. There are recessed areas in the floor around this thing, and there are recessed areas along the walls. There is an open passageway leading west and a closed door leading east.
Okay. Or wait, I got those mixed up. Hold up. West and east, huh?
Okay. I got a map going.
Let's investigate this cylinder thing first.
So it's some kind of long rod that has been wrapped in wiring, about as thick as a person. At the north end of it's arranged north to south, like the long axis with it pointing north or pointing south.
Okay.
The north end has like a metal plate capping it off at the end. The south end has like a glass funnel that's pointing with an arrow pointing in. And then okay. On the floor behind it, on the floor to the south of it, at the south end, there's a, you notice that the floor can be pushed down. There's a switch in the floor that you can stand on.
Ah, should we stand on it? What if we stand on it?
I was about to suggest that you stand on it, but I realized that we're both controlling the same
link. You're both the same person.
I'll put the right foot on.
You depress the switch and nothing happens. But okay, you also notice good. There's some writing on the device.
Whoa.
Okay.
Hey! Here. It's Gerudo text.
That's true.
Oh, man.
Foreshadowed in the previous episode.
Okay.
Another alphabet.
Some would say someone had a really good idea, and I just get that idea going.
It's a real good idea for us playing this. It's not that great for the listeners. But who cares about the listeners?
That's not Sarah, why we're doing this.
You keep exploring this room while the right half of Link's brain
just mull this over. Okay. What was the circular thing that is at the north side of this room?
So it looks like a massive vault door. Or it would if there were, like, any handle or dial or any hinge or anything. Mm. But instead, as you get close to it, it looks like it's just one single giant, impossibly disc of, like, pure iron that has been wedged into this wall to prevent entry into the vault.
Okay, fair enough. What about the recessed marks on the floor?
So what do those look like? Floor leading to and from the cylinder at the center of the room is a kind of lattice of, well, what looks like wiring. And I can show you an example of what this looks like. They all look, both sides look the same. You're going to get a lot of sketches because I didn't have a lot of time to make nice, pretty assets. So enjoy my sketching.
It's very clear.
The numbers are not there. The numbers are for helpful purposes.
Okay.
But there's a lattice work of wiring leading to and from down into each doorway.
Okay. From the center.
From the center.
And does that include the north door, too?
No, just the two, the east and west doors.
East and west. Okay. Okay. And you said there were recessed areas near the wall. Is that the same?
Yes. Same. No, those look more like massive indentations. And they are each labeled in Gerudo numbers, which I learned doing this, that actually Gerudo uses like Roman style numbering because they only have a character for 1 and 5.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So where did you hear this?
When I was looking up the Gerudo writing system. They only have numbers 1 and 5, so the only way you could do big numbers is if you do it Roman style. So you see I and II and III and IV.
Okay.
Except it's not IV. It's not the. It's a different number. Whatever.
Okay.
So they're numbered 1 through 4. Hmm. I won't make you translate that because that would be a whole extra asset I would have to draw and take a picture of. And they're two on either side of the cylinder. These like pretty big, like bigger than a person, like recesses in the wall. The recessed areas. You don't say recesses. That's not how that works.
We might have to go into the next room to figure out what's going on in here.
Okay, I almost have this translated. I just need to confirm. Okay, what was this text on the panel? The cookie panel in the floor?
Yes.
Okay. It says, please ensure you have proper power, cooling, shimming prior to use. And I'm pretty sure that does say shimming. S-H-I-M-M-I-N-G.
Yes.
Okay.
Must be some lightning thing.
Yeah. Lightning shims.
Well, okay. I don't think we have those things.
No. Then, let's go to the next room. Let's find out what's going on.
Which room are you going? You got 2 doors.
Well, there's the open door. Can we open the east door?
You attempt to open the east door, but it is closed and will not open.
Okay, then west door it is.
Yeah. See,
I gotta make sure we're doing it. Keeping you honest. All right, do I have a description for this room? I think I do. I think I did descriptions for everything. I did! You're in a hallway. This long hallway is open at both ends. There are hieroglyphs on the north wall, and a metal plate rests on the ground. A large metal plate rests on the ground. You'd have to kind of step over it or like walk on top of it to go west to east and vice versa.
When you say rests on the ground, is it built into the floor or is it the kind of thing that could be pushed or picked up?
It is laying on top of the ground.
Okay. Let's look at those hieroglyphs before we touch the electric plate.
Okay. It's strange. Or I guess I shouldn't editorialize what kind of hieroglyphs Link has seen before, but these don't look like any kind of hieroglyphs that Link has seen before. You can see this like carved out hieroglyph situation at the top. there's a large area that is blank and framed below it, and there is a chisel and a hammer hanging on the wall next to it.
Oh, cool. Weird. So I'm going to try and describe this for the listener. We have above what looks like a side-scroller depiction of a hallway where the Anubis hieroglyph from Earthbound has to, like, or is to the left of a spiked pit, and then there's some hands coming out of the ceiling and an asp hieroglyph from Earthbound, and then another spiked pit. And the hammer and chisel and the panel underneath this are almost like we're going to, like, chisel in the password that will, my guess is, allow the hieroglyph to get past all these problems. Or wait, so if this matches the hallway that we're in, then that Anubis hieroglyph is at the west end and we're at the east end, right?
Correct.
So maybe this Anubis hieroglyph doesn't represent us trying to make progress from west to east, because we here we are at the east end. Maybe he represents, like, a boss that will face us at the west end. It's hard to say what's going on in this hieroglyph.
Yeah. I'm worried about the pits, though, the spikes, or if that's what they are. Flames? It's probably not. Be. Grass? That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah. Could be grass. So can we pick up this metal plate that's on the floor?
You attempt to pick it up, but it is too heavy and too big for you to do that.
Okay. Huh. But by putting my hands on it, I didn't electrocute myself and die, right?
Nope. No electricity here.
Okay, perfect. Let's keep all this stuff in mind and continue to the west end of the hallway.
All right. You pass into this room, and your eyes have to kind of adjust because the light from the entrance of the temple at this point is, like, not quite reaching this room all that well, so it's pretty dark. There's a metal plate, looks like the same size as the one you saw before, leaning up against the northwest corner of this room. There's a pit in the south part of this room. You can also see some of that lattice work that you saw on the floor before, leading from the pit to that hallway you were just in. And it's the same lattice pattern.
Huh. And this metal plate should also be too heavy?
This metal plate, you get up to it, is also too heavy for you to move. However, you can see on, because it's kind of propped up against the side, you can get a look at both sides of it, and there's a design on one of the sides.
Oh, okay.
And this,
I want to see the design.
You get a decent look. Oh, you get a look at the design there, and it's a Gerudo woman of I, as well as her spouse of O, and their child the Vevi.
Okay.
Sheltering from the afternoon sun beneath a palm tree.
Huh.
It occurs to me that we do have this lantern of truth and we have not been using it. Should we just shine it all around this room to see if we can see anything since it's dark?
Absolutely. Do it.
You light the lantern. You get a better look at the surroundings. Nothing mysteriously reveals itself. However, if you do have the light on and you look in that pit, you can see that there's a bottom to that pit.
Oh my gosh.
And down below,
a regular pit.
There's actually a pile of soft sand down below that you could probably jump to.
But how would we ever escape? Oh, Zach. Zach, you bad dungeon master. What? This is an unwittable state you've created. Let's jump down to the bottom of the pit to teach Zach a lesson about creating unwinnable states.
It's fine. The fairy will fix it.
So Zach, Link falls to the bottom of the pit.
Poof. big cloud of dust and sand poofs up as you land safely below. With your light, you can see that this maybe was some kind of workroom before. The pile of sand that you landed in is like half on top of what appears to be an elevator that would then lines up with the pit above it. In the northwest corner of this room, there is an orb sitting in a pedestal.
Whoa.
There's a metal plate, much like the other ones you've seen, that is flush with the east wall. And as you're, like, collecting yourself getting up from the pile of sand, you find a half-buried skeleton.
Ah! Okay, poke the skeleton.
Skeleton is poked.
It's not a talky skeleton.
No, the skeleton is non-animate.
Can we... You said that the metal plate is flush with the wall.
Yes.
So I assume that means we can't, like, see another design because it's on the back.
No, this design's actually facing out.
Whoa.
Which design is it? It is the sun rising above a dune as a young Vi plays with a sand seal.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Next, we have to check out this orb, right?
Definitely.
Okay. You get over towards the orb, and you see that there is a switch embedded in the floor in front of it.
Oh.
This one does not have any text reading on it. You stand on the switch. The orb lights up in a big Tesla coil fashion that lights up the room.
Whoa.
Cool. Now with a little more light, you notice that there's some of that lattice work that runs from this pedestal to the base of the elevator. And now you notice that that lattice work is lit up a little bit. And
okay,
the electricity emanating from the orb. Let me see if I can pull up this picture so I know what I'm looking at here. Starts going from, we got to describe this to the listener. The light is starting from one, the electricity, and it is trying to pass through, or it is passing through the lattice in the fashion that when it hits a crossing, it crosses over to the next line.
Yes, it's like that, whatever they call that in Japan.
I don't know what it's called, and I could not figure it out trying to Google it, but you know what I'm talking about.
It's hard to describe, but yeah.
If you've played Mega Man X and fought the spider boss, it's that. That's my touchstone for this. Or like any Professor Layton game, I think.
Ghost Leg.
Ghost Leg, is that what it's called?
It's called Ghost Leg.
Okay. Wow. Well, now this is lit up, but the electricity is passing, or it's not getting to the elevator. It's running aground at a, I guess it would be passing to the number four, the fourth column.
Okay.
But from what it looks like here, it needs to pass to the second column.
Okay. But is there any way we can manipulate the legs?
Maybe.
What happens if I push on them?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
I would say, let me describe it a little better. It's recessed into the ground, but the individual, like, circuit pathways are off the ground enough that you could maybe do something to them individually.
Like, what if we cut one of them?
You could try.
And it had to go a different route from one down to two. What if we just cut the first horizontal line on the left?
You cut that line, and then the electricity reroutes such that it only crosses from one column one to column two, and that electricity is now flowing to the elevator, which then turns on.
Hey, yes. Awesome.
As the elevator...
can get out.
So you can get out now. As the elevator starts to motion, that skeleton kind of falls over and gets a little unburied, and you notice it's clutching something.
What? What's it clutching?
It's a actual journal, piece of journal paper that looks like this.
So we've got a more detailed drawing of the Anubis hieroglyph from Earthbound. And then some mysterious things. There's like a circle T, and there's a backwards S, and then there's what I'm going to call the elbow knee.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what that is.
And you also notice, and I don't know how well it comes across in this picture, that there was some Gerudo text written next to each of these that has faded away.
Whoa. Oh, man.
I do see it.
No, I don't
close.
Notice that.
I have to, is like, this
zoom in.
An opportunity for the Lantern of Truth? Or do we still have that on from before?
Oh, you totally do. So we could do that. I'm not going to take another picture of it, but from top to bottom, the first symbol is labeled attack. The second symbol is labeled jump. And the third symbol is labeled duck.
Oh, cool. Cool. Okay, so these are symbols, hieroglyphs of a sort, that we could use as commands for Anubis Man in the hallway Prince of Persia cabinet.
Cool.
So, fortunately, in the Discord window, we can see both of these right next to each other. What we want to do is jump, duck, attack, jump. No. Uh-oh, I died.
It's okay. We're pre-planning. It's all good.
Okay. Jump, duck, attack, duck, jump. Right?
So you're going to go back up there and try that out. So...
Yeah, because the elevator's working now, right?
You ride the elevator back up.
So we can get back up there.
Awesome. Now, make sure I get the order of events right. When you get back to that hallway, you can carve that into the wall, but nothing happens.
Okay, because it's not powered. We need to plug in the Prince of Persia.
So...
Let's look at the lattice. There was a lattice connecting, like, the pit to the hallway, right?
Correct. And so now you can see that the light is entering that lattice from... Make sure I get the correct one. Yeah, from the number 2. Mm-hmm. And you need to route it to the number 3 column. The second column to the third column.
Then it's just like the other one where if we cut that... first 1-2 connection. Or wait, sorry. Are we starting from the top or from the bottom?
Always from the top.
Oh, geez. Okay, then it's harder. We need to cut that first 1-2 connection, and we need to cut that second 3-4 connection.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So you cut those wires, and the electricity is now routing to that hallway.
All right. Let's go back to the hallway and find out what's in there.
So now, the hieroglyph patiently waited for you to start.
Needed to warm up.
needed to warm up, had to get the attract screen going. And you watch a very cute scene as this little hieroglyph starts doing a cute little walk cycle.
Wow.
Jumps over the spikes. As it's walking... There's a beneath, like, the hieroglyph, like, between the hieroglyph and the little input piece of sandstone, the electricity starts to travel underneath in, like, a little loading bar.
Cool.
The Anubis Man jumps over the spikes, ducks under the dead, not the dead hand, what is that, the wall, Wallmaster. Ducks under the Wallmaster, jumps over the asp. Ducks under the Wallmaster and then jumps over.
I thought it was going to attack the asp.
Or sorry, attacks the asp. You're right. I've already forgot my own puzzle. Attacks the asp, knocks it away, and manages to traverse the whole thing. And now the electricity is passing through this room.
Cool. Excellent.
I guess we could have just jumped over it, huh? Oh well.
You have to try it and see what happens.
Well, we've done it anyway.
I don't want to find out. Yeah.
How are we going to carve more symbols on top of the ones we already carved?
Graciously, it will erase itself if you really need to, in case of errors. A lot of resettability in this dungeon.
I guess, yeah, if multiple people might come through.
Those wires repair themselves?
They do. Wow. That's actually in the notes. I didn't think about
that. Okay.
Yeah, it's a magical place.
It's canon.
Yeah.
All right. We better get into the main room again and see what the power has powered.
So you go back to the main room. Nothing is powered just yet because there's a kink in the lattice work again, leading to the mysterious cylinder. Okay. This time you need to route it from 3 to 4.
Sarah, you do it.
I think we just need to cut the bottom right from going from 3 to 4. So it'll go down, right, and then down, yeah.
Yep. You cut that one, and now it's passing through. So now there is a hum of electricity as this device is powered now.
And it, okay, good. Is the device look any different?
It's glowing.
Oh.
Okay, that means it's powered.
Okay, I'm checking that off my list. Power.
Oh, but we shouldn't step on the thing because we don't have cooling or shimmying yet.
Yeah, I don't know. How do we do that?
Well, I wonder if the east door has become unlocked thanks to the electricity.
Not yet, not as such. But you notice that the power is not passing from the mysterious device to the door. There's one last set of there's an additional set, definitely maybe not the last set, of lattice work there. And okay. You need to route the fourth column to the first column now.
Fourth to first? It should already be going from fourth to first.
Yeah. Correct. By observing it, now it is properly flowing.
You just give it a little kick?
When did I change that? At some point I changed that then. I had it different than that. But okay, that's fine. You give it a little jostle, and that east door pops open.
Great. All right, what's in there?
A short hallway gives way to a small room with a chest upon a... How do you say this word? Dais? D-A-A-I-S.
I've put a lot of work into not saying that word
out. All right. Well, I'm going to just jump straight into it and say it's a dais. Chest upon a dais, leaning against the north wall, is a metal plate.
Does that plate have any kind of scene, a pleasant scene on it?
It does have a scene. It is, as the sun sets, an aging Vi soaks her feet in the waters of an oasis.
Okay. Cool. Let's open the chest.
Yeah.
The chest opens, and inside is the magnet glove.
Ooh.
Okay.
Congrats.
I wrote that really big in my notes. That's exciting.
Enjoy.
Let's wear it. Let's touch everything. Touch that plate.
Need to... Yeah.
What does it do?
Is it like magnet glove where we can like telekinesis metal things around?
It's magnet glove, you know, it's from one of the oracles. But here I kind of imagine it just functioning like magnesis from Breath of the Wild, where you can just pick up big metal objects or any metal object.
Yeah.
Ooh, big metal plate.
And telekinesis it around. So with the magnet glove, you effortlessly lift this big metal plate. Like it's
still so powerful.
Radical. Let's take this plate into the center room and then go into the west hallway and get the plate that's on the floor out of it.
Yeah, I want to see what that one says on it.
Oh yeah, you can see that one now because you can flip it over. The sun beating down on a warrior Vi as she battles a Gyarados.
Wow.
Cool.
That's like the coolest one.
It is pretty cool, yes. Let's zoosh that into the main room too. We'll kind of like make a little... We'll lean them all against the wall without necessarily putting them into any indentations. And you know what's going to be really cool? When we're in the West Room and we pull the Sunrise sand seal plate out of the pit without having to go down into the pit.
Hmm.
It's like awkward angle and you're like trying to manipulate the camera to get
I don't I want to feel powerful though by doing this at a distance.
Oh no, I get it, because I would also do this. You like awkwardly jostle things around and get the camera lined up correctly, and you're like, okay, hang on, I got it. Okay, now it's stuck on the roof. You're like banging against the roof, you're like backing up and trying to rotate it. It's you finally get it up there.
The controls for rotation are never as elegant as you really want them to be.
No.
Okay, and are we cool enough to transport both of the plates out of this room at once by like magneting them together?
We do have two gloves.
Whoa.
Did I say gloves? Wait. Or did I say
glove? Yeah, you said glove. We just have one glove.
Yeah. No, just I just a made up glove. Another one.
Okay.
That's good, because we're going to need the other hand for a different cool
That's
glove
like the
in the later
second,
dungeon.
Yeah. The fireball glove.
Wow.
Okay, so all four plates are now in the main room.
Uh-huh.
Are these plates thin enough that the word shim can apply to them at all?
In the sense of what we're accomplishing here, yes. I've got a different definition of shim in my mind because I work around magnets. So.
Oh no! What's
going on?
Guys, Zach is an MRI technologist.
Thank you for doxing me, yes.
This has been the MRI temple all along.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
That's true.
Oh, no.
Shimming refers to applying metal to around your magnetic field to increase homogeneity.
Well, that makes sense.
Great.
Let's do that.
Okay, so what I've noticed about these... these plates is that they seem to depict a Gerudo life with like a kid in the morning and then a warrior in the noontime and then a family in the afternoon and then an old lady in the evening.
Mm. That sounds like and a good order to put these into the recessed areas.
I guess, yeah. Is there an obvious way of we just put them in like that?
Do
they fit in the recessed areas?
They fit snugly into those recessed areas as if they were meant to be there all along.
Great.
Good dungeon design, pirate trying to hide your treasure. I'm going to make these recesses exactly fit these plates, is what the pirate said.
Probably.
To protect the treasure from Commodore or something.
Commodore Lauterbur.
Lauterbur. Okay, so, yeah, I guess, well, wait, we have power. The MRI machine is powered. We have shimming insofar as there are plates in all these recesses. I think that means that we have proper shimming. I don't know if we have proper cooling.
Yeah.
But... what happens if I stand on the plate, the switch plate?
You activate the device, it starts to fire up, and then gets red hot, and then turns off.
Oh,
no. And then turns off.
Okay.
What if we swing our sword a whole lot and make it windy, and then...
I was just going to blow into the funnel.
Oh, yeah.
You try it again, trying to cool it with your own self, and you get the same result.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we need to go to the ice palace and get the ice?
That'd be really inconvenient, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that might be the solution. Ah, geez. Is there anything in here that we haven't used is the question.
In this room that you're in right now?
You know, I was thinking that the big circular metal thing in the north wall was something that we would open up by correctly operating the MRI machine. But maybe we should investigate it more closely and find out if it will open some other way. Oh, wait! We have a magnet glove. We can just magnet it out of its socket.
Yeah.
You try and wrest the vault door open with the magnet glove, but it is insufficient. This thing is simply too massive and too wedged in there. You're going to need a bigger magnet.
And that's what the big thing in the middle of the room is a bigger magnet.
Seems likely.
Is there... It's not like the magnet glove itself can provide cooling to the central cylinder, right?
Nope. You do have some gossip stones. Those are a thing.
Okay.
The next thing I would probably do is walk around this whole place with a lantern on to see if we miss anything. I was thinking
the same thing.
There you go.
Blacklight searching. Yeah.
All right, where are we going?
Let's go to the east room. We didn't look in there, did we? Or did we?
You did. That's where you got the glove, and there was a plate.
But we didn't use the lantern in there.
You turn the lantern on in there, and you don't see anything that you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Okay. We did turn it on in the main room, didn't we?
I don't think we did. Let's do that.
You turn it on in the main room, and you can see the writing on the switch a little bit better, but nothing that you wouldn't have suspected.
Okay. And the other, the hallway with the hieroglyphs is the only room we haven't tried it.
You turn it on in the hallway with the hieroglyphs. The hieroglyphs are now entering idle animations because they're bored. but that's about it.
Okay.
There's also nothing underneath that plate that you had moved previously. It was just floor.
Oh, good point.
Did we try digging through the sand? What if there's something under there?
Yeah, let's mess around. What if there's a big metal thing under there that the magnet glove can
Well, you detect? So you take the elevator down, and you notice, because you grabbed the plate from the floor above, you were at a bad angle to notice that when you pulled that plate away from the wall, there is a carved out secret entrance into another area.
Cool.
Shut up. Terrible.
And that's why you don't show off, I guess. Well, let's see what's in there.
Where's the description for that room? There it is. Okay, this room is much cooler on the inside than all the others. Like the
promising.
Like beyond just being like away from the heat of the desert, it's like actually noticeably cold in here. There is a pipe that's kind of bent at an L that passes like it's like anchored to the roof of this room that exits and enters to you'd have no idea where. And in the middle of the room is an ice chew. And it's threatening you.
Let's stab it with our sword.
You vanquish the ice chew. It leaves behind a little heart to refill up your heart.
Great.
We might have needed that for something.
A moment later,
I am not worried.
Condensation from the pipe above starts to accumulate, and a big drop hits the ground in front of you, and there is now an additional ice chew.
See?
Hmm.
Okay. I want a magnet glove to manipulate the orientation of this big L-shaped tube.
Sure. You kind of wrench it out of the wall a little bit.
Because I want to make it point from over there to... I want to make it point to... Do you... Am I on the right... Sarah, do you understand what I'm doing?
I think I need to visualize this pipe better. It's sticking out of the wall and then back into the wall?
Yeah.
So can we, like, break it so that we could access the inside, or is that a bad idea?
You could do
it. Well, I feel like if we... It seems to me that the idea is that the pipe needs to be pointed in such a way that it pushes the cold air up into the main room.
Instead of dropping into where we are. Well, yeah, can we move the pipe so that it's angled
But I mean, I guess I'm imagining like a grate that leads up to, or like an additional pipe that leads directly to the main room that might not be there.
So grabbing the pipe and trying to jostle it free, you rip the pipe out of the ceiling.
Cool.
And now the ice shoes are popping out of either hole.
Uh-oh.
There, and the pipe is just a pipe.
Put it back.
You put it back, and it thankfully manages to adhere somehow.
Hmm.
Magnets.
But now there's like three ice shoes in this room.
Stab them!
Slash, slash, slash. You get more hearts. You get a single rupee. Write that down, listener. Okay.
So we have to get them to go in the right direction, maybe.
Or wait.
Can we carry one?
You can't. You try and grab one, and you take a half a heart of health.
Yeah.
Mm. But they...
That was foolish. It's not how any of this works.
What if we get the ice chews inside the pipe, we tie the pipe at both ends, trapping the chews inside, then we carry the pipe out of here down the hallway back into the main room, and wrap the tube around the MRI machine?
So you coax some chews inside of this tube as they like...
Okay.
And you tie it in a nice bow. And then you clumsily bring it back upstairs, because it's just slightly too big to really get up into that elevator shaft, you know, so you have to, like, maneuver. You can get it to the main chamber and unwrap it, and, or I guess you didn't say unwrap, you were going to try and wrap this around the machine. I'm just going to fiat a little bit and say that as you bring it close enough, the funnel on the back seems to be very happy that there's a chew present and starts to slowly suck that chew into the machine.
Whoa.
Wait, so... What? Okay. I had the wrong idea about the size of this funnel.
It's like a pretty big funnel, yeah.
Okay.
You couldn't fit into it, but a gelatinous creature about half your size could be sucked into it.
Huh. I want to know what the intended solution to this is.
So this is the puzzle of this one where I said, I'm just going to leave it kind of open-ended and see what happens.
Oh, okay.
So it works.
In my mind, I was like, oh, well, what if you just kind of slowly nudge the enemy and like have it fall you all the way over there to get sucked in? But I don't think I quite portrayed the sucking in part ahead of time.
The problem, I think, is that I don't expect an enemy in this format to just... stupidly like keep jumping its way after me.
Oh, absolutely would.
Yeah, in a game you could see that happening. But in a Zelda puzzle pod quest, like you don't think of things working that way.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Okay. So well, now manipulated the chew to get to the funnel just exactly as we were intended to do.
It gets sucked in, and now there's a bunch of weird chew coolant circulating around the inside of this device.
Let's hit that switch.
Okay. You stand on the switch, and you're realizing now you're very glad the switch is built on this side of the machine, because the magnet activates. The coolant keeps it cool long enough for the focused energy of the magnetism of the device to directly grab on to that huge chunk of metal blocking the vault, and with no sound until it hits, it yanks it to slam into the superconducting electromagnet you've just created, opening the way through with a loud clunk. And then the power disengages and the whole thing turns off and it just kind of falls to the ground. But now it's open.
Okay, let's go in.
Go, yeah.
You see just piles and piles of gold and treasure and booty.
And rupees.
And rupees and so much.
Take it.
But rising up from that treasure is a massive automaton with six arms. And you face Kalaktos.
Oh, dear.
None of you have played Skyward Sword. This is the coolest boss from Skyward Sword.
It's like a steam-powered Robo-Man.
with six arms, and each one has a scimitar.
Oh, dear.
Scary.
And now you're fighting a boss. Go.
Okay. stupidly just slash our sword at it without trying to use a strategy.
It swings its bottom right arm at you, and you take a half a heart of damage.
No. Can we stab at the middle of it where it's vulnerable?
You try and get a swing in there, but you can't quite get there, and then it swings at you with its bottom left sword, and you take a half a heart of damage.
Oh, gosh. Okay,
so we're down to 2.5 out of 4.
I forget how much the other damage you did. No, you got a bunch of hearts when you were messing with the shoes, so you were full.
But then we took 1 damage after we did that.
Yeah, so you have 3 hearts.
Okay, fine.
because this matters more than anything else we're doing.
Whatever, it's fun. It's a video game.
Should try to use the magnet glove on it.
Yeah.
See if we can get some of those scimitars.
Make it, like, why are you hitting yourself? Stab itself with its own sword.
Okay. Wow. I started to design a more complicated puzzle for this. and then I realized it's kind of silly because this just becomes a pattern recognition situation where he swings his arms in a certain order. And with enough time, you'd eventually figure out that order. But what happens is you try and grab the scimitar, but you accidentally grab the whole arm.
Yeah.
That it's still swinging.
Okay.
And you can go ahead.
I'll use that as a ranged melee weapon to make it swing at himself.
Exactly. And so with the right timing, you pull an arm off of Kaloktos, and then it slashes at itself and does a bunch of damage.
Cool. Hmm.
And then it kind of pulls itself together again, and you got to do it again for the next arm, and then so on and so forth.
Okay. That's awesome. That's an awesome fight that we are doing it right now.
You're doing it right now. Cool. You're pulling arms off with the magnet glove and using it to slash at itself. It's so cool. and you do that 6 times or whatever, and Kaloktos is no more.
Yay. Yes.
Collapses to the ground, goes kaput, and in its place is a heart container.
Oh, good.
We need that.
And then
I'm erasing a bunch of empty heart containers so I can draw a new row of 5 full heart containers.
That's great. And then you notice sitting on like a little, like a footstool, slightly elevated above the footstool, is the lightning pendant!
Hey!
And the teleportation circle out of here.
Okay. And we'll just take all of this gold, right?
I mean,
yeah, that's put what it all in the teleportation circle.
There you go. congratulations.
Hot time.
That was good.
Yeah.
This is like, if I had more time and brain power, I had a more complicated version of the wiring puzzle to work out. But I started to try and design it, and it was not working. And I'm just like, I just need to do a simple version of this so you understand the intention.
Yeah, simple versions are
good. I was really thinking that we were leading up to the more complicated wiring puzzles, like the boss battle of wiring puzzles.
The problem is they're really hard to, like, design because there's so many different solutions. So I started to, like, try and design some very complicated ones, and my eyes kind of went cross. And I also couldn't Google what they were called, so I was like, I can't even cheat on this.
Yeah, what did I Google that I got it right away? Japanese ladder game.
Ladder game. See, I didn't look for that. I'm like, spiderweb game? And it's like, that's not what it is.
Because you were thinking too much in Mega Man mode.
I'm always thinking too much in Mega Man mode. but yeah, you did it. Welcome to the end of the thing.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you have the magnet glove now.
We got a new item.
I have the magnet glove.
We got another
which
pendant.
I love.
Yeah, that's a great item. I got to figure out what to do with that.
Also, if you can always, if you need to, like, not use it, just whatever you have is non-ferrous. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or your dungeon's trapped in a Faraday cage.
for the for anyone who has been foolish enough to listen, Sarah. Oh, did you reveal already what you were planning to do on the
previous episode? I think I did. Yeah.
Okay.
A Temple of Time.
Yeah.
So, and you still feel like you're going to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it in a terrified way.
I'm looking forward to finding out what it is.